All right, so we've been looking at, we started chapter 5 of Romans. And I think it's one of the most important chapters in Romans. It's a segue, if you will, to chapters 1 through 3, everybody's guilty before God, they're sinful. Chapter 4 begins the bridge to having that peace. And we talked about that peace last week, that we have peace with God in verse 1. And we talked about the word justified or justification. It means that all sins have been forgiven. We've been acquitted. It has been tried in the courts of heaven and at the cross. And Jesus paid for it in full. As a result of that, we have tranquility. Irene is the word peace. And it means to have tranquility with God. But not only that, it means that the hostility that was on our end when we're hostile towards God has now been done away with. So when we think about this idea of peace, it's a peace that really surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that is innate. It is a peace that is inside of us, that no matter what storms come, no matter what life throws at us, there's an unshakable peace. And he starts with that in chapter 5. And that's one of the benefits. That's one of the benefits of the gospel. And then we learned in verse 2 to stand in grace, and that we have been given access to God because of that peace and because of what Christ did on the cross. And then in 2b, we talked about rejoice, and that word really means to brag. If you're going to boast, boast in what God has done, boast in what Christ has done, and we live our lives in the realization that what God has done for us, it was impossible for us to do. So now here's the kicker. He says all that. You have peace with God. You have access to God through Jesus Christ. But I know I have to go get a shot this week at the VA. It's a flu shot, the annual flu shot. And that's supposed to inoculate me against, I don't know, 26 different variants. But it's not always perfect. And I think sometimes we get the wrong idea. When we trust in Jesus Christ, at least I did a long time ago, and I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I thought things would get better. Oh, in one way it did. In one way it did get a lot better because my sin was forgiven. But that does not inoculate us against hardships and trials. The difference is everybody goes through them, whether you're saved or unsaved, you go through trials and tribulations and hardships. The difference is, the key difference is, we have Christ and they do not. And that's one of the big dividing lines. So now we're going to get into the fact that we do face difficulties in life. We do face difficulties in life. Now notice verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoice, that's the same word we looked at last week, and it means to basically have a high degree in something. Basically means to boast. In verse 1, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That is the day that we see Christ face to face. James says it this way in James 1, 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials. Now, none of us, including myself, like to suffer. How many of you like to suffer? I didn't think one hand would go up. No, it's not fun. When we go through hardships, when we go through trials, it is very difficult and it hurts. And this word sufferings, he says that we rejoice in our sufferings. That is literally trouble, persecution, or hardships in life. You know, as we live our Christian lives, things come along. It might be a death of a family member. It could be maybe something physical that happens in your life. It could be something emotional that happens in your life. It could be that friends will not understand you and they will push you away. Whatever it is, you're going to face hardships in life. Jesus said it this way, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. That's arene, that tranquility in the midst of a storm. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The fact is, Jesus said that we're going to encounter hardships in life, but Jesus has overcome the world, and when we go through these difficulties and hardships and storms, and some of them are dark, right? Some of them can be very dark, and some of them can make you feel so isolated from God, far from God, but in those moments, I want you to understand that there is something going on, and Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Now, that's a promise. We're given a lot of promises in Scripture. Once we trust in Christ, we're saved. That is a promise. But there's also the idea, as you live your Christian life, I want you all to realize you are unique. You are different. You are different and unique because of the relationship that you have with Christ. Once you trust in Him, then the goal of the Christian life is to live for Him out in the world. Now, when that happens, remember this. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Mark it down. Not everybody's going to say, oh, please share with me the gospel. Why are you so good? No, sometimes it can be a really radical response. A really radical response. It could even come to physical violence against us. Here's something to keep in mind. That when you encounter negative responses to the gospel, you have to separate the person from the person behind the person. And they're not really rejecting you. They are rejecting the one who sent you. We are ambassadors for Christ. At Walmart, at Save-A-Lot, or I don't want to exclude any businesses, but wherever you are in life, you are an ambassador with great opportunities in the moment to be an ambassador for Christ. And that's not always going to be easy. It wasn't easy for the disciples as they went around sharing the gospel. So we need to persevere, and all of us who seek to live a godly life will be persecuted. And I love this verse, and I've never seen the verse in exactly this way, not this one, the one I'm getting ready to show you. And I can't remember the translation, but it's pretty good. It's Romans 8:18, and I love this. The pain you have been feeling can't compare to the joy that is coming. The pain that you feel today cannot compare to the joy of seeing Jesus face to face. That is what is coming. And that is such a comforting. I looked at that and I went, well, I got to put that in there because I like that one so much. And sometimes, sometimes the pain is physical. Sometimes, I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did the other night. I hope that, is that God calling in? I'm not sure. I don't know what I did the other night, but I can't get my arm up past my shoulder. I guess I pulled a muscle or something. That's kind of a pain. And every time I say, ouch, ouch. Sometimes the pain is physical. Sometimes the pain is emotional. We go through all kinds of things in life. Sometimes it's spiritual. And sometimes, let's just boil it down, sometimes it's life. Life knocks us around. And it can hurt. And I love this verse. The pain you have been feeling can't compare to the joy that is coming. That gives us a little view, a little perspective that, wait a minute, what we have here is temporal. What's coming is eternal. And when we focus on that eternal, the temporal seems to fade a little bit. You only have to go through it. And you know, unless you've got a real bad illness, most of the time God pulls us out of that. And thank God for doctors and nurses and medications that can make us better. But sometimes we just, life hits us. And it shouldn't knock us back. It shouldn't go, wow, what's going on? Well, I can tell you what's going on. Just because we trusted in Christ doesn't mean that we won't go through hardships and difficulties in life. Secondly, we look at character. Now, suffering isolated seems to make absolutely no sense. Why is this happening to me, Lord? I live for you. Well, yeah, you live for him, and part of living for him is under... Think of it this way. The way that we come to know Jesus Christ deeper is by experiencing the suffering that our Savior experienced. Isn't that right? We can understand a small portion, maybe not a large portion, but a small portion. You all do know Jesus suffered when he went to the cross, right? He was beaten, drops of blood. And so if we just want, look, I want Jesus without all the hardships. And sometimes that's how Christians seem to live. They don't mention Jesus. They don't talk about Jesus. Following him is a whole different game. And we have to dedicate ourselves to following him no matter what. Now, like I said, pain and suffering isolated seems to make no sense at all. However, let me encourage you here. Let me encourage you. That something is happening through that pain and through that suffering. There, I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to ever apologize for this. Everything that comes into our life, God already knows. And he is going to use that. He is going to use that to help us live for him and get tough. You need to get tough. And the way that that happens is through hardships, trials, and pain. Now, you'll notice here, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Let's look at this word produces right here. So it's used three times, and it means to bring something about. In other words, if I press down on something, my muscle gets stronger. And as I continue to press down on it, it'll get stronger and stronger. Do push-ups. I think the other day I did 3 reps of, well, I think it was 18, but and the real military push-ups. This is something that is brought about by something that is pressing down on us. Knowing full well, this is where we miss the mark, I think. Sometimes we look at suffering and we go, this is so hard. And it is. I'm not belittling that. But there's a purpose in it. There is a purpose. Now, I don't think you should go out and say, Lord, send some difficulties on my life. I don't think that's the way it is. I think you, as you live your life for him, difficulties will come. Sometimes it's because we share the gospel. Sometimes it's because of the way that we live. But I want you to understand something. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Suffering produces endurance. That word endurance means the capacity, I'm just going to read right to you what the Greek says, capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. This was basic training in a nutshell. You would not, the day that we pulled up at Fort Gordon, I was in the signal battalion, I pulled up, we had our civilian clothes on, drill sergeant, the bus stops, and you're like looking around and you see these guys with these weird hats on waiting for you. Drill Sergeant Caswell gets on the bus. He says, I want to welcome each one of y'all to Fort Gordon, Georgia. get off. And I can't tell you exactly what he said. But we were banging into each other trying to get off the bus. I saw a picture this week when I was looking for this. There was a guy getting off the bus at basic training. His eyes were this big because there was so much screaming, so much yelling. And then, you know, so many things. I mean, you were scared to do anything because they really did yell at you a lot. I'm telling you. Basic training. Yes, drill sergeant. No, drill sergeant. I got so nervous during the, I think it was the, when you first get there, they make you dump out your duffel bag and all of your military gear are there. Our room was, we had 8 guys in our room. I'll never forget Ward. He was a character. And Army drill sergeants did not like National Guard. They called him Nasty Guard. That's what they called him the whole time. But Ward and I became good friends. Gaynor, I remember these guys. If you ever been through basic training, you remember the guys that you were with. And I remember dumping my clothes out, and Drill Sergeant Caswell, Drill Sergeant Mann, all right, everybody go get me 2, it was Class B shirts. I got so nervous. I was digging through my stuff, trying not to be the last one out there. When he said shirts, I grabbed 2 pairs of pants. And I went out and I held him up like that. The drill sergeant Caswell, put it away, put it away, put it away. And he came to me and he goes, drill sergeant man, looks like we got ourselves a comedian. And I said, you don't want a drill sergeant that far in front of you. You just don't want it. And you just don't like it. But I'm going to tell you, it was painful. However, through the 8 weeks, I noticed that we were getting stronger and stronger and stronger because of what the drill sergeants were telling us to do. And I remember coming out of basic training and I was in great shape. But it wasn't easy going through it. Now, when Paul says, knowing that suffering produces endurance, it means that when these things come in your lives, it will make you stronger. When you get through that storm with the help of the Lord, you will get through it and you will be stronger as a result of it. That's one way that we can focus. Wait a minute. God has, instead of going, no. Just go, you know what? This is here for a reason, and I'm going to let God have his work in my life in this certain situation, and it's going to make me stronger. There was stuff that would knock me off that won't knock me off today. Well, I better be careful saying that, but I feel like I'm a lot tougher than I was back in 1981 when I trusted in Christ. And character and endurance produces character. Dokime. To learn the genuineness of something by testing. So these circumstances that come into our lives, if we learn what we're supposed to learn, then we'll move on to the next level. It seems to be a level here, at least as I understand this text. And it means to test, to examine, and determine the genuineness of something. Kenneth Woost, in his commentary, said this, not commentary, but word studies, Paul did not exult because of tribulations themselves, but because of their beneficial effect upon the Christian life. This the saint must learn to do. He must look at these trials and difficulties as an asset in developing Christian character. No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. If you have a cushy Christian life, the first little thing that comes along is going to blow you off course. So when these trials come, we redirect our focus and say, you know what? God is doing something. Too many times we look at the Christian life like it is a sprint. But actually, the Christian life is a marathon. Now, I can speak to this because I did run in the Tulsa Marathon back when I was young and dumb. No. I volunteered for it. We trained for weeks. I'm going to tell you, no amount of training, and we ran a lot. That was our job. It was for quite a while. Around mile 8 to 10, yeah, I wanted to quit. But I didn't. When you cross that finish, it's kind of a mind game. It started raining a little bit. It's kind of a mind game as you're going through this. And as I crossed the finish line, I think we started with 50 and we wound up 12 of us crossed the finish line way behind everybody else. I mean, Frank Shorter ran in that race and he won it, if I remember right. I don't know how many hours, 3 hours, something, that we ran that marathon. And I never forget, I saw that finish line and I go, yes, I'm glad this baby's about over. And when I crossed the finish line, they wrapped me up like a bean burrito. And then they gave me something to drink. This is the Christian life. It is a mind game. It is a spiritual game. And we've got to stay, and we have to stay on it and stick to it, because this will produce character, stick-to-itness. And the more that we learn this, the more that we can see purpose. Listen, the more that we can see purpose in suffering. If it's just that God is messing with me, and by the way, let me just say this. Sometimes we cause the suffering ourselves. But I'm going to default to this. Even in those times, God uses us to develop our character. When difficulties and hardships come, God's using it. So the next time you have a big trial or trouble come into your life, just remember God is using it. And character, once we've gone through the suffering, we are enduring it, and we go through development of character, character produces hope. El peace, that's the easy way to remember this, el peace. Look forward with confidence to that which is good and beneficial. I like what Douglas Moo, one of my favorite theologians ever, said in his commentary. As a result of a tested character, finally, the Christian who responds to suffering with the proper attitude, that's key, with the proper attitude will find at the end of the line that his hope or her hope has been strengthened. Let's get a different perspective and look at suffering from a different vantage point instead of one. And I get it. It does hurt. But then we can go, wait a minute. Unlike the unbelievers, God has a purpose in this trial. And it is to make me stronger, not physically, but spiritually stronger, so that we can survive the storms of life. I remember back when my grandmother Porter passed away and I preached her funeral. Yeah, I don't think my family was ready for me to lambast them with the gospel. I remember my Aunt Doris, my Uncle Bob, he served in Korea. I always liked Uncle Bob. My Aunt Doris goes up to where my grandmother is and she starts wooing back like this, and my Uncle Bob looks at me and he goes, "She lacks faith." You know, at the end of the day, it really is about Jesus. Your life, my life, it's about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about what God wants to do in you to make you a follower of Christ. Those, if you go back and you read the Gospels and you look at what the disciples went through, they were beaten, flogged. I think every one of them was martyred except John. So it's not going to be easy, but the pain that you are feeling today cannot be compared to the joy that will come. So hang in there. So Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Everything that comes into your life and mine, God uses. We just have to believe it. Otherwise, it doesn't seem like there's any purpose to anything. But God has a purpose for it. Now, the question is, I thought about this week when I was developing this message for you guys and gals this morning. I thought about it, what if somebody's going through some difficult times, really bad hardships, and they think to themselves, God must not love me. Have you ever heard people say that? I have. So many things wrong in my life right now. God must not love me. That is a real temptation. That is a real temptation. I don't know, I just feel like sitting right now. need a break from all the movement. Masterfully, Paul drops that into the discussion. You notice after he's talking about suffering? And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. One of the great temptations when we're doing this is to say, I must be really not living for him. And that could be true. I just think with all the stuff going on, Lord, you do not love me. I don't know how much longer I can do this. And hope. But his love for you and for me never, ever, ever changes. When you're going through difficulties, never question the love that God has for you. Never. Because you know who wants you to start questioning that? Satan wants you to start questioning, hey, look at this guy, look at that guy. They're not going through this. God doesn't love you. Listen, when you're in Christ, you are loved eternally. That no matter what befalls me, whatever comes against me, no matter what's happening in my life, you can write it down that God loves you completely and that he has a purpose for all of your pain. Never question that. Satan's tricky, folks. I'm going to tell you that. Satan's tricky. Where's your God now? Look at this. Satan's tricky. He knows he can't touch your salvation, but he can really hinder your sanctification and your growth. And pain and suffering is one way that Satan comes along and says, look, you believe in this God, look at your life. His love never changes. It took me quite a while to get that work just the way that I wanted it. And hope does not put us to shame. Kataskuno. That means to put something to shame. I was looking at, I can't remember which Super Bowl it was, but the 49ers destroyed the Denver Broncos back in the day. It was the largest lopsided Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls. It was like 55-10. I thought the Bears had the big one, but I think New England did get more points than. But it was really bad. It was a bad Super Bowl. Notice the words here. And hope does not put us to shame. First Peter 2:6. For the scripture says, see, I lay in Zion, a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. That's us. Douglas Moo had a lot of good quotes this week, and it's probably my third one or second one, I can't remember, but Christians need not fear that the judgment will put them to shame, in the sense that the foundation upon which they have built their lives and hope for eternal blessings should prove inadequate. When you go through these difficulties, you're not going to be put to shame in the end. In fact, building Christian character will increase because of the storms and difficulties that come into life. And obviously, I think Paul's making a transition here into where we talked about in verse 2 about meeting him face to face. The New Century Version says this, I tell you the truth, whoever hears what I say and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life. That person will not be judged guilty, but has already left death and entered life. The day that you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that was the day that your sin was done away with. You do not stand before Christ on the day of judgment and give an account for your sin. You do give an account for what you've done with your life now. Because sin cannot enter the kingdom of God, therefore Christ had to negate sin in your life and my life so that we can go and stand before him in a righteous position. Then it is all about what I did. Did I do this with the right motives? It could get burned up. Did I do this with wrong motivation? I've said this for 17 years. It's been a while since I said it. Ask yourself the question, why am I doing what I am doing? You'll get to the heart of your answer. If you're doing good works, which we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, 2 Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. Yes, when we trust in Jesus Christ, then our life begins anew, if you will, a tabula rasa, blank slate, and then we live our lives for him, doing acts of kindness, loving people, all of those things, but we do them for the wrong reasons, that they're going to get burned up, and then Hebrews says some will pass through and just get into heaven because everything they did was for the wrong reason. Look up 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for our lives. And don't let that scare you. What that simply means is that you have to be careful of what you do and why you do it. We're not judged for sin. We're judged for our life moving forward. Now, I think Paul said it this way. This just came to my mind. If Christ had not been risen, then we are the most pitiful of men because our faith is in vain. Our faith is not in vain. There were over 520 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Parade that before a jury and you're going to be found guilty. When we cross, and we will, unless he comes out of the sky and we go up to be with him, we will see him. in all of his glory. But this is what I want to leave you with this morning. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Ekro. To cause someone to experience something in abundant or in a full manner, cause to experience. Hearts is cardia. We've heard this word many, many times. Cardia means the innermost person, the inner self, the heart, the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions, all of those things. You know, the day that I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, from my grandparents, for certain people that had shared the gospel with me, when I trusted in Jesus Christ for the first time ever, did I sense that God loved me. That was an experiential love. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Cardia, thoughts, emotions, feelings, desire, will. All of those encompass who we are. That's an experiential love. Henry Blackaby, I had a rare opportunity to spend over an hour with Henry Blackaby when I was pastoring my other church up in Kankakee, and I spent an hour talking with him over a cup of coffee. And we had a good conversation. He passed away last year, but he had a book, a program, it's called Experiencing God. And if I could give you the synopsis of Experiencing God in a nutshell, it's look at where God is working and join him. That goes back to everything comes in our life, it's for a purpose. But Henry Blackaby said this, I don't know how I remembered it, to be loved by God is the highest relationship. To be loved by God is the highest relationship. Do I love my wife? Yes. Do I love my daughter? Yes. Do I love my grandkids? Yes. Do I love my other daughter? Yes. Keep it level. Do I love you guys and gals? Yes. But do you know who I love more? Christ. That needs to be our perspective. Because if we put others before God, it will show in our lives. Blackaby's right. To be loved by God is the highest relationship. That's where you spend time developing that love relationship with him so that everything else is just gravy, the cherry on the top. And so many times we fall in love with wrong things and we get our priorities all mixed up and then we wonder why stuff is broken. Well, it's broken because of where our priorities are. Now, this love, because God has poured out his love into our hearts, we sense it, we know it. And you know what? Let me just say this. Faith is not a feeling. And I've heard that. And I understand why people say that. But sometimes it's good to understand that God loves you and to sense that love. Charles Stanley, is years ago, went on a pastor's retreat. If I've shared this with you before, I'm sorry, I'm going to share it again. Charles Stanley went on this pastor's retreat, and there was 8 or 9 pastors around the table, and Charles Stanley says, he's talking about everything, and one of the pastors looks at Charles Stanley, and he said, Charles, when was the last time you sensed God's love in your heart? And Charles Stanley stopped. And he said to Charles Stanley the second time, I want you right now to sense the love of God that he has for you. And Charles Stanley broke out. Sometimes it's good to feel. Sometimes it's good to know and sense the love of God in our hearts. I get it. There's times that we need that. And maybe go home today and say, Lord, let me sense how much you love me, and watch. Watch what God will do. And he does this through the Holy Spirit who he has given to us. Peter said to them, repent each of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right, Joyce? I saw your hand go up. This pastor sees everything. Got to be careful. The day that you trusted in Christ and asked for forgiveness of your sins and invited him into your heart, you were given the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I'm going to say this. I really sense the presence of God right now. I really sense the presence of God. I mean, it's like I'm feeling it. You were marked in him with the seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. You're sealed. The day that you trusted in Jesus Christ, you're sealed. Please know that you are loved by God. The world tells you they don't love you, but I'm going to tell you God loves you, and he loves you with an everlasting love. He cares about everything that's going on in your life. He will never leave or forsake you. He is with you through the storms, and he's trying to develop endurance, character, and peace in your heart as you go through these storms, so that when you see him face to face, you won't be, whoa! You're still going to be that way, but wow.